I heard some good ones. I was hanging out with the seventh grade guys. Heard some good ones, some good ideas of why they want to be famous. How many of you would want to be famous? How many of you guys would want to be famous? Raise up hands. Okay, like a little maybe kind of sort of famous, like halfway famous. Okay, all right. I get that. Andrew, famous? Yeah, right? Okay, great. If I was to be honest with you, I don't know if I'd actually want to be famous. Like when I really stop and think about that, right? Like when I really stop and process, like what does that mean to be famous? Sure, like big house, whatever, like all those cool things. But then I really stop and think, that means people are watching you all the time. All the time. Now, there's some good stuff that I might do if I was famous. And that's cool if people see the good stuff that I do. But I don't want people to see the bad stuff or the lame stuff that I do, right? Like I don't want people to see that. And so I don't know if I'd want to be famous, but I don't know about you guys, but the truth is, even though none of us are like really famous, you know, even though Adam over there is like, you know, chart topper with his guitar and everything, but like, you know, although none of us are actually famous, I don't know about you guys, if you admit it or not, you probably feel like people are watching you nonetheless. Like people are always watching you. Right? And if that's your peers, people around school, maybe it's your family, people are watching you, and not only watching you, but like they're silently judging you, right? Like they judge how you act, who you are, what you're doing, and they're watching. And I feel this, right? Like I'm not even in middle school, and I feel this still. But I remember when I was in middle school, and I remember that feeling. And it changes how you act, all right? It changes kind of who you are. You see, the fact that you know that people are watching you automatically changes what you do. It means that maybe when you're in a sport and you lose, you want to show that you're really into that sport and that's like the biggest thing in your life. And so you throw a fit when you lose, right? You kind of become a bad sport about it. When really that's not you. Like you're not really that competitive and you really don't care that much, but you got to show others that you do, right? So maybe you become a bad sport because of it. Maybe you want to show someone that you're tough. Right? And so you start picking on people, right? To show that you're better than you think you really are, something like that, right? And so you pick on other people because you know that others are watching. Here's another one, and this will probably apply more to like eighth grade than it would like sixth grade in this situation. But maybe you know that people are watching you, even if they're not actually like physically in the room. You know that people care about what you do. And so maybe you don't actually like that guy or like that girl, but you know that you need to like be in a relationship to be cool, so you start dating this person. Or maybe it's the fact that like, hey, you have to hold this person's hand or you have to kiss that person to feel like you fit in, right? And so you change who you are or what you would normally do because people are watching, because people are gonna know, right? And they have to know a certain you. They can't know the real you. They have to know a certain kind of you that you want to portray for them, okay? You know that people are watching, and it changes who you are, even if you don't admit that, even if you don't like to admit that. You act a certain way because people are watching. Now, there's one idea that I want to get across this morning, one big idea. This is it. It's a huge concept. I'm going to compact it into six words. God made you to be you. God made you to be you. And we're going to look in scripture for that this morning. If you guys don't have Bibles, go ahead and grab Bibles. There's two Bible carts up here. There's some Bibles over there. Hey, this week I found a lot of Bibles hanging around the gym. If you guys bring your Bibles and you leave them, I'm going to just pick them up and put them in the Bible carts for you. So if like you want, you can honestly leave your Bible here every week. I want you to take your Bible with you though, because I want you to be reading it during the weeks. What's up? But if you do leave it here, you know where to find it. It's in the carts. Once you guys get your Bibles, we're going to be turning to Genesis chapter 1. It's like the easiest Bible verse to find ever in SU. Genesis chapter 1, which means it's in the very, very beginning of the Bible. Yes. Eighth grade girls, if you want that couch, you can go for it. It's all yours if you guys want that one. Nope. Next week. I pinky promise Drake next week. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 27. Once you get there, raise your Bible up in the air, and then you can put it back down. Thank you. If you have your phone and you get there, put your phone up in the air and put it back down. Let me know that you're with me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. 27. This is an easy one, guys. You can find this one, I promise you. Now, there's one later that you're going to have to look up in 1 John. That one's tough. Sorry. You'll find it. All right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. If you're with me, read along here. It says this. So God created you in his own image. In the image of God, he created you. Male and female, he created them. Now, this is a big deal. Okay, this is a really big deal. After God had created all these things, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, God created things and he said, this is good, go on, and things were good. And then he created, and we talked about how he created Adam. But when he created Adam and Adam was all alone, that was the only thing that he said was not good. Right, Bryson? That was the only thing that he said was not good was when Adam was alone. But when he created woman and man and he had these things, he said, not only are they good, I want you to roll your finger down to verse 31. Roll it down on to verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and he said it was very good. Now, this is the only instance in all of the creation story where God speaks and says, this is very good. Not only good, it's very good. God gets like super excited about people, you know, because God created people in his own image. Now, I'm not talking about like, Martin, God, you have God's nose, you know, because he created you in his image, so you have his nose, right? And, you know, it's not so much, you know, Colby, you have God's eyes. I can just see it, right? Like, God's eyes are there. And it's not so much about that, right? It's not like our physical appearance is God. God's not going to be like chilling. I don't know. He might be. I don't know. But he's speaking more that God created you. He wired you internally like him. Your feelings, your emotions, your heart for things, situations like the video we watched that breaks, right? You want to be a part of that. That's God's heart. That's God's soul that is part of you, right? And he didn't create anything else. Nothing else like a plant or a tree or a dog. God didn't create a dog in his image. God created you in his image. That's a really big deal. And here's something that I want you to get. He created you in his image for his purpose. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I feel helpless in this life, right? Like, I feel like I have no purpose. I feel like sometimes I'm just aimlessly walking through this life, and I don't have any good reason or aim of what I'm doing. I don't have a purpose. But when I look at this and I'm reminded God created me not just to aimlessly be walking this earth. God created me with a purpose. God created me with a purpose. I want you guys to be reminded of that this morning. Now, 2 weeks ago, when we were in here, we started this series called Wired. And there was a theme verse that went along with this series, Wired. It was in the book of Matthew, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. It says, the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And the second commandment is like it. Does anyone know the rest? Love your neighbor as yourself. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about loving your neighbor. But here's the thing. We talked about loving your neighbor first. But you can't truly love your neighbor unless you know how to love yourself. You can't truly love your neighbor unless you know how to love yourself. And here's the bigger thing. I think the capacity that we love God is through the lens or through the window of how much we can learn to love ourselves. Does that make sense? Capacity of how much we can love God is through the window of how much we can love ourselves. There's things that you don't like about yourself, things that you can't cope with or learn to love about yourself. That's going to affect the way that you love God, because God created every piece, every part of you, every intricate thought that you have. God created that, although some of it has been hijacked by sin. God created you fully, every piece of you. So if we can't learn to truly love ourselves, we can't fully love God. All right, so here's the action steps. I think sometimes, guys, all it takes is a reminder to ourselves that God loves us, that God created us in his image, and we've got to remind ourselves of that, right? And that goes a long way. So here's the thing. I know nowadays, like, mirrors, like, if you look in the mirror at yourself too much, that can kind of be seen as, like, selfish, right? Like, if you look in the mirror at yourself, it's, like, really vain. How many of you guys know the word vain? Yeah, you kind of know. Okay, great. I used that last service, and I didn't know if anyone actually knew what that meant. Okay, so it can be seen as kind of vain. In fact, there's a movie that came out that like demonstrated this, Divergent, where there was a group in Divergent. What's their names? Abacus, or that's a game. Abigation, great. Where these people, there's like this whole group, they couldn't look in the mirror at themselves because they were so selfless, they served others so much that if they looked in the mirror, that was a sign that they were being selfish. So we kind of portray this idea that nowadays if you look in a mirror, that's selfish. Okay, that's a bunch of hogwash. Okay, I want you to get rid of that idea. I want you to look in the mirror this week and I want you to tell yourself something. Now, you're going to make up that something, okay? You're going to come up with that something on your own in your groups in just a little bit. But I'm going to tell you my something. And you can ask my wife this later. She hangs out around student ministry. You can ask her if I said this week, okay? I'm going to say, every day, I'm going to stand in front of the mirror, and I'm going to say this. God made you to be you. And I'm going to be talking to myself. I'm not going to be talking to you. God made you to be you. I need reminded of that. When I think everyone's watching me and I have to be a certain way because the world feeds me my identity, I have to be reminded that God made me to be just the way I am. Now, in a little bit, you're going to come up with your own phrase, okay, of what you're going to say to yourself. Don't say what I say to myself. Say what you say to yourself, okay? But as you go into groups, I want you to think about this. How can the way God sees you change the way you see yourself? How can the way God sees you change the way that you see yourself? Go ahead and jump into those questions. You guys, leaders, have like 20 minutes. Just dig into it. Have fun together, okay? Sound good? Aight.